Hey, hey. Woo! Lord, you've done everything for us, and we are grateful. We give you glory. Hey, we give you glory. Hey. You've done everything for me. 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 You've done everything for me.
So I give you the glory.
Nobody else. matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Oh Lord, nothing in this world can satisfy. Oh Malalish, Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Sing one more time.
Who is like you, Lord? Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Oh Lord, matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world, nothing in this world can satisfy. Oh Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Oh, your praises is heaven to me. With the whole of your declaring, your praises is heaven to me. Nothing like His presence, oh Lord. Your praises is heaven to me. Nothing like Your presence, oh God. Your presence is heaven to me.
Come on, somebody, go ahead and just declare His presence wherever you are. Declare what His presence is to you. Make melody in your heart this evening. Let it be like an evening sacrifice rising to your Father. For right where you are, the presence of the Lord is right inside of you. He's everything to us. That's where we live, we move, and have our being. Oh,
everything to us, Your presence is Yelalande. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Thank You, Lord, yeah. In my weakness, You are merciful. Oh, Malade, Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Oh, Lord, Holder of my future days to come.
Let's sing one more time.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Oh Lord, in my weakness You are merciful. Oh God, Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Yeah. Days to come, and that is why we sing Your praises. It's heaven to me. Oh, thank You, Lord. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence, Lord, Your presence is heaven to me. Shalom, Your presence.
what, go ahead and just sing in other tongues wherever you are. Make melody in your heart to the Father. Come on, bask in His presence. Come on, go ahead. Let your worship rise. Let your heart rise in praise. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Hello, my dear. We love your presence. We're never leaving His presence. We are always abiding. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Oh, Nana Mande. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Your mighty presence. Your presence is heaven to me. I praise you, Lord.
Upon the Father this evening. Let your worship rise to Him. For loving me this much, Father, I love you.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give praise to you. Thank you for the love that you've shown unto us. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. We're recipients of your love. We're here today because of your love. We have all we have in Christ because of your love. We give you praise, Father. Thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. All right. So, yep, you're welcome. It's important to get together and fellowship. All right. So, still looking forward to when we all could physically do that. We've chosen doing it. How that you and I have to train ourselves to be doers of the word. So, well, I knew that. I'd learned that. I know that. We've got to be doers of the word. So, let's just jump right in. So, in John chapter 1, you and I are familiar with John 1, but trust me, we cannot get away from the revelation that is in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that's the verse I want to stay with next few minutes, all right? So it says, all things, verse 3, John 1, 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we see in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then God said. You and I have got to understand that there's power in the spoken word. All right? There's power in God's word. And then there's power in it when we speak it. Please understand that. So when God speaks, that's power. His word in itself is power. His word does not just have power. His word is power. His word is creative ability. Right? It's creative energy. You know? He has it. It is the power. So when you and I now come to understand, hey, how do I apply this word? How do I roll with this word? How do I run with this word? It's you and I coming to terms with how God really wants us to function. Because there's authority in words, all right? There's authority in words. But once again, it's not just, oh, let me go about saying something. It's how do I flow with the word? That relationship, that, you know, you and I sitting down and saying, okay, how is this word going to transform my life? How's this word going to change me? How's this word going to impact me? So Bible in verse 3 again of John 1 says, all things were made by the word, and without the word was not anything made that was made. So I'll ask again, what is it that you are doing right now, and how much of God's word is in it? Please understand that. What is it that you are doing? How much of God's word is in it? Because when life hits at us, it's the amount of word that we've put into whatever it is and put into ourselves, where that thing is concerned, that would rise to the occasion. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is a virtue that overcomes the world, even our faith. So anything born of God. Now that's a verse that you and I could meditate on. It affects your business. And then you say, oh, my business is born of God. Now, that's me mentioning that to you. It could resonate with you. And then you want to go read it like 5 times, read it like 10 times. But it's only for the first next 2-3 days. Whatever I do is born of God. Whatever I do is born of God. Whatever I do is born of God. But it's not just born of God, really, because he said it's born. Now, you could say, well, because I'm the one doing it, and I'm born of God, and whatever I do is born of God. But, you know, better yet, you could know, because God is even behind this thing that I'm doing. All right? I know it's born of God. And then I know it overcomes. I know it will have the wisdom it needs. It will have the support it needs. It will have the... So what are you doing? You're presenting God's word. You're using the word. Not used like negative. But you're taking advantage of it. You're employing the word as an agency of change. You're employing God's word as an agency of transformation. You're employing the word as an agency of victory. Please understand that. Because a believer is not powerless. Now, you and I were born again. We are born again. That means we're reborn. We're recreated. God now hands you his word. To do what? To win. God hands you his word. To do what? To transform yourself. God hands you his word. Remember we read from Jeremiah 1:12 last week? Right? God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see the branch of an almond tree. And God said, you've seen well. Why? Because I hasten my word to perform it. I watch over my word to make it good. So you've got to always present the word. Don't forget what we talked about last week. If you have to go back to listen to it, it will be great. I watch over my word. So we said God is watching over his word. Angels are watching over the word. I mean, Jesus is high priest over your confession. We didn't touch that last week yet anyway. But you and I have got to understand, we must build a super solid relationship with the word. John 1:3 again, all things were made by this word of God. All right? And without the word was anything made that was made. Yes, in this part, it's talking about the word before the word was even written, the word before the word became flesh, the word, the person of the word, which today we know as Jesus, all right? The living word. So before there is the written word, there's the word. So yes, the word proceeds out of the mouth of God, but Bible gives us, you know, the clear understanding that the word has a personality. So when you and I fellowship with the written word, we are fellowshipping with the living word. When you give attention to the living word, I mean the written word, you are giving attention to the living word. Some of us really would appreciate it. And I think I mentioned that to you sometime back. You know, I think it was Ken Hagin I first heard who, you know, a few other means I've said, but I think I've heard him say that more. Now, he says a lot. If you've listened to him, which I know you are now, you know, he says, God's word is God speaking to me. Okay? God's word is God speaking to me. God's word is God speaking to me. So you've come, we get to understand, hey, you know, so I was going to say something that I've heard him say, and maybe, you know, them Kenneth Copeland and all. If Jesus were to stand here right now, maybe send an angel to you and say, from today, whatever you say will come to pass, you know. So say whatever you want. Most people would now, from that day, be a lot more bold, a lot more confident, a lot more conscious of the words of their mouth. And that's the truth. But Mark 11:23 is as good as just standing here saying the same thing to us. But we somewhat would appreciate appearances better. But we need to come to say, no, the written word is God talking to me. The written word, yes. This written word of God is God's word to me. So I need to come to the written word. I've got to read the written word. I've got to wash with the written word. In John chapter 15, Jesus was speaking to disciples, all right? And then he said here, I could pick it from the first verse. I'm going to the third verse, all right? He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears forth fruit, he purges it that he may bring forth more fruit. Now, verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. Now you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. So, our popular marriage section of the Bible, Ephesians 5, which is, you know, about it, but yet again, Paul said, not really about it. You know, that's marriage, right? So he teaches marriage classically, but Paul says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. So you have to learn Christ and the church. That means there's a revelation about you here, you and Christ, in this whole husband-wife thing. All right? So Paul is saying here in 25, okay, Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. 26 says that he must sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So if all you read here is husband, wife, husband, you just missed the revelation here. He said, husbands, love your wives. Now, it is important to see that because Paul used that to teach something. All right. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, that's Christ, to the church, that Christ, might sanctify the church, all right, with the washing of water, sanctify the church and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we see what Jesus said in John 15 here. Verse 3, all right, Paul is making reference to it here, that the word has cleansing agent. The word has cleansing agent. I'm sure there are a number of us listening or watching right now who would not go to bed without taking a bath. All right? You get out there, run through your day,
You come back feeling sticky, icky, you know, whatever. And then you're like, I have to take a bath. Some of you don't even not just take a bath, you know, like make sure everybody around you, you know, takes a bath. All right, because you just feel, I mean, we've gone into all the whole day. You've touched something, done something, dust has, you know, all of that up. I mean, you've done stuff, you're sweaty. Go clean it up. Go clean it up. Hallelujah. Go clean it up. So, Bible lets us know that the Word of God is cleansing agent. So when you interact with life, interact with people, interact. Bible talks about, you know, the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you interact with all of that, take a bath. Take a bath with the Word. Take a bath. Come to read the Word, and we need to do that. All right? You and I need to discipline ourselves to do more and more and more. A verse, a few verses, a chapter, whatever it is, you take a bath. All right? Get into God's Word and clean up. Listen to a teaching and clean up. All right? Read your Bible, clean up. And you'll see the cleansing effect, how it impacts upon you. If you don't do it religiously, if you don't do it grudgingly, well, I've been told to do it, so let me do it. You know? Or running a schedule, you know, or Bible reading. So, hey, if I don't do it, no. This is cleansing agent. Do you get this now? So, because you're born again, all right, then God gave you His Word to do what? To win. But God is not just interested in the Word giving us victory and then the Word not changing us. No. When you change, please get this. This is the interesting part of it. Many of us want to get things and not focus on change. And you can get things and not change. All right? A young man could be very, you know, brash, you know, and not polite, you know, as a young business person. And then he gets a job. And then still the same, not polite guy, but he's good at his job. He could get promoted, you know, buy a car, get married. But then he's not changing. Right? So God doesn't just want you to have things and not be transformed. No. God wants you transformed because this is how it works. And that's why I say this is the interesting part. When you and I are transformed, it impacts the things around us. Seriously, this is God's Word. It would impact you and influence all the things around you. All right? So he says, by the washing of water, by the Word. So Romans chapter 12. I know you know it, but we have to read. The 12th chapter, and then we'll pick the first and second verses. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? Paul says you do that. By the renewing of your mind. That's the cleansing agent again. You wash. You wash. But it now takes it, you know, further, brings another point there. So number one is that the Word can cleanse you. Number two is the Word can reprogram you. Guys, this is me and you learning, okay, how do we relate with this Word? It will reprogram me. It will wash me. It will reprogram me. It will wash me. It will reprogram me. Are you feeling like you're losing in life? You know, at those times, you don't feel like going to the Word. Go to the Word. Seriously. Go to it. You know those moments where you feel, I'm just tired. I don't even want to hear preaching right now. I don't want anybody to talk to. Hear the preaching. Because one of the things the devil wants to do is like to cut us off the source. Cut us off the flow. So he wants to cut you off the cleansing, and then he is able to heap more and more corruption, carnality, flesh, emotions. He wants to heap it all on you. So he will want you to go to the word, and then the word helps you to wash it off. No, he would even encourage you, and this is how, you know, this thing is. The devil doesn't mind you telling someone your problem, as long as you're not going to take whatever a person tells you to do. And that's how the flesh behaves too. The flesh feels good talking about the problem. The flesh even feels good talking about the people that might have been responsible for the problem. But the flesh would not want to own responsibility for the change and the transformation, because the flesh feels good in saying that person is at fault, this person is at fault, or just let's have a pity party. Oh, let's just for a minute now, just please now for a minute, let's have a pity party. So you saying, no, I need the word to cleanse, is, you know, it's a bit more work. The flesh doesn't always like that. You say, no, I need that transformation, it's quite some work. The flesh doesn't always like that. But God gave you and I his word so that we win. God gave you and I his word so that we win. Allow me to say it one more time. God gave you and I his word so that we win. So winning is the game. Winning is what God will have us do. But it's not just win like, hey, I got the job. No, win. Personal transformation win. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? The word there, you know, is basically what you and I understand when we see the transformation of that butterfly, metamorphosis. That change, it means it's not just like my mind will change. No, my entire system will change. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. All right? It means go through metamorphosis. You need to morph, change from one state to the other by the renewing of the mind. So if I renew my mind, I will transform. If I do not renew my mind, I will conform. If I renew my mind, I will transform. If I do not renew my mind, I will conform. If I start renewing my mind, I will start transforming. If I stop renewing my mind, I will stop transforming and start conforming. Did you get that? If I renew my mind, I will transform. If I do not renew my mind, I will conform. To conform means to blend. All right? What used to matter, doesn't matter, sound like everybody else. Think like, even if it's still an internal struggle, something's beginning to find expression. You're conforming to the flesh. You're conforming to the world. You're conforming to something. So don't conform. Transform. So when you begin, and this transformation is a lifelong process, okay? So if you're renewing your mind, and the more you renew your mind, transformation is taking place, right? Something's changing. Something's changing. Something's changing. Then you stop. When you stop renewing the mind, the transformation stops. Nothing, listen, life does not have a vacuum, all right? You don't just say, hey, I'm not rolling the boat. I'm just, no, it's not necessarily that still water kind of thing. It's flowing. It's flowing river. So are you paddling up or you're paddling down? So if you're not conforming, then you ought to be transforming if you don't want to conform. And then if you stop transforming, then do you understand that? So when you realize you're beginning to become afraid and you didn't used to be afraid, go to the programming. Go to the cleansing agent and wash off fear. But you can't just wash off fear and then, like Jesus said, clean the house and make it empty. If the house is empty and the demon comes back, it comes back with some other guys. So you don't just say, I've washed. No, it's the same thing. It's the word. It's just we're learning the different angles to it. All right? So it's not, okay, I finished washing now. Let me start programming. As you feed on the word, it's washing you. It's programming you. It's washing you. It's programming you. So it's fear, like we're saying. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So what do? I go to the word. I read verses. Would you be surprised as to you were afraid, all right, startled, and after a while you realized, but the Bible said, so why is that happening to me? It's because you're not as strong. You need to upgrade your OS or something, you know. You're not as strong on the revelation of don't fear like you would have been before. I mean, Paul in Acts 28 is still classic. He carries some fire, some wood rather, throws into the fire. A snake comes out, a viper bites him and dangles off from his hand. And the Bible said Paul shook the beast into the fire. So you don't read that in the Bible and think, he was already a soldier going to die. I mean, a prisoner going to die. He was No. He was on his way to Rome to defend the gospel. And he knew that no harm will come to him. But we're taught in science there's response to stimulus. I mean, so you touch something hot, you go, ouch, you just, ah! So Paul's first reaction should have been, oh my God. And I said, Jesus. No, but that wasn't it. The thing beat him. That means Paul was fooled. The programming. Guys, the programming. And you and I can program, reprogram, and keep at it until we're fully morphed into the very image of Christ. That's where we're going. So that's why I said, don't just pursue things, please. Go to God's word, let it bathe you. Go to God's word, let it transform you. You realize that at your transformed state. Let me use faith and explain something. There's a level to which you're pursuing things, so you're growing your faith in order to get things. Please understand what I'm about to say very well. So you're growing your faith to get things. Then there's the other level to which you just grow spiritually, which would include your faith capacity. You find that it will now be easier to get things. So you are not now just growing your faith to get things. You're growing. All right? You're growing. So maybe, you ask a child, pick that. The child will need quite some energy to pick something that, is heavy. All the child has to do is grow. Yeah, it will take years, but you could bring it back to the illustration. If the child grows, the thing heavy today is lightweight tomorrow. The key was not that the child focused on that thing. The child went to grow. So you find that our faith is, I'm upset, boy. I didn't have this thing. I believe I received that thing. And we got to use our faith. Please get me. But I'm saying there's a place of growth. That by growing, you just build muscles. And then it's easier for things to come. Should we then say, I'm not using my faith till I grow? No, you keep, that's part of the growth. You exercise yourself. But I'm saying don't be too focused on the thing. And then not be interested in growth at all. You get that? Don't be too focused on the thing. You're not interested in growth at all. Jesus taught a principle in Matthew chapter 12. Super classic. Super classic. It's blessed me. It keeps blessing me. So Matthew 12, we'll pick it straight, all right? From the 33rd verse, Matthew 12, 33. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else you make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by the fruit. All right, this is quite interesting. I'll read it again. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or you make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. It says, for the tree is known by its fruit. 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. I know that's very popular. Now, 35, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they will give account thereof on the day of judgment. 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So I'll pick 33 again. All right? And maybe 36. 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else you make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. When Jesus says, either make, he didn't say God will make. He says, either make. It means there's a responsibility, you know, the onus lying on the hearer to make the tree. So the tree is yours to make. He said, but God made everybody. Yeah, there's the God making everybody portion of the understanding of scripture. But here's just saying, you make. So he now gives a key in 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will bring forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. I know you've heard this before, but ask yourself if you're working on it. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. So I want to bring forth good things. Maybe health. I want to have good health. I want to have great health. I want to have peace of mind. I want to have, you know what you have? You want to have a good man. Out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So the treasure in the heart precedes the bringing forth of good things. Because you cannot bring forth any good thing if, yes, you can finish it. If there is no treasure in the heart. So we come to realize, therefore, that storing up the word of God in me is storing up treasure in my heart. And then from there, I can bring out good things. So you fall ill recklessly, you know, you fall ill here and there. And then you do not know why. You don't even know how to deal with it. Program health into your system. How? Store word. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will bring. Listen, this is key to super transformation. This here is key to super transformation. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will bring forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, will bring forth evil things. I like to mention it this way. A sick man, out of the healthy treasure he puts in his heart, will bring about health. Get that again. A sick man, all right, out of the healthy treasure he puts in his heart, will bring about health. You know, will bring about healing. Will bring about transformation. So a broke person, out of the prosperity he puts in his heart, will bring about prosperity. You're right. You say, but he's broke. Yes, because he stores up prosperity in his heart. It won't bring about brokenness. The prosperity he's storing up over time will change his perspective, change his wiring, change his outcome eventually, and change the thing he brings out. Is this clear? So this man, all right, then the treasure in the heart, then the thing. Please get this. Please. All right. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. A good man, all right? So I've used the example of a sick man. I've used the example of a broke man. We could still stay within those two. We could move further. A fearful person, someone with low self-esteem, somebody with insecurity, all right? These things compound because we feed them. We feed our fear. We feed our insecurity. You feed your jealousy. You feed it. So the jealous person, feeding the heart with jealousy, would only bring forth jealousy. The fearful person, you know, feeding the heart more and more with fear would only produce more fear. That's what's going to happen. This is all about the word. The word is God's agent of change. You've got to get this. God's word is God's agent of change. You want to be transformed? Go to the word. Some say, let's make people just get out there and do. And that's why many people are out there doing. Nobody's being transformed. So we have a lot of people out there trying to succeed, but they are not changing. They are not changing. So all about life is now success. If you have a bit more money, oh, you're fine. You're the guy everybody should listen to. You're okay. You might still snob. You might still, you know, do stuff. You might still be that lady that is just still, you know, funny with attitudes. But you have money, so everybody likes you. No. You've got to understand transformation. Because God didn't give birth to you and then leave you in a state of babyhood and just load you up with good gifts. He needs you to grow. He needs you to see the importance of the growth. He needs you to see the why of the growth. And you have his word once again to do what with it? To win. Use the word to win. Use the word to win, all right? Now, the book, the e-book we have for this week, I believe by now you've read it at least once. At least, at the least, one time, all right? I'm assuming you should have read it more than that. But let me say at least once. And if you're like, oh, what book? Please ask for it, all right? Ask the leaders for it. I'm sure it's somewhere around you. All right, it's that teeny, book you could finish in an hour or less. And if you really take your time to read it, you'll still finish it in like 3 hours. All right? If you want to really sleep on it and wake up, no problem. You'll finish it in a day. It's a small book. But it's so small, you mustn't overlook it. It is loaded. And in that book, again, you'll be challenged on meditation. And that's one of the things God is having us learn. Put the word in your heart. 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 So you see how Ken Hagin handled the story where, his wife had to ask, so what do we say to the nurse when she wants to know how, Pat is doing their daughter? And he didn't say, well, tell Pat to tell the nurse or tell. No. He reads healing scriptures. God's agent of change. God's cleansing agent. God's transforming agent. He goes to the word. So it's not because you could get that kind of information and a picture comes to your mind of, oh, so this is what's happening to my daughter. Then you begin to read through the word. You're cleansing. You're renewing. You're exchanging that picture with a newer picture of a healed daughter. Someone needs to get this. This is not, sit down. I've sat down. Picture yourself at the airport. All right? You're about to board a plane and someone just moves you. They upgrade your flight to first class. Picture it. All right, so you enjoy the picture? Yeah. Feels good. All right, just picture yourself lounging, feels good. Meditation is not wishful thinking. Please understand that. All right? Let it sink. Meditation works with imagination. All right? Not just that you just drive away by stripes, I'm healed. So I just picture myself, healed and jumping up. It's good to picture that. But don't drive that ahead of how much word is it. If it's not clear, please let me know. You could drop a comment. This is not clear. Explain further or something. And I will for next Wednesday. And if it's like, I need extension. Now, I could find a way of getting across. Please. This has to be clear. Because you need to understand what so we're here, meditate. So maybe, you see some people just sit down and, cross their legs and, So what are you doing? I'm meditating. That's not Christian meditation. That's Eastern meditation, all right? So that, all that stuff, and they go, It's not us. Joshua 1:8 already gives an idea what it is. Very clear one. He says, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. It means you say something. So we don't go, You say something. Please get this. You say something. All right? And he already says what you should say. The book of the law. For us, the word of God. All right? This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. It means speak the word. That's he already says it. And that says you would meditate on it. That word there, meditate. Means to speak to yourself, all right? Means to think deeply. So it's both, really, not most times either or. So, well, I could be thinking it. He begins with the book of law, not depart out of your mouth. So it means you need to say and think and say, by stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes. By stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed by stripes. By stripes, I'm healed. 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 Now, the reason why I'm doing I'm healed is not because I want to be repeating I'm healed. No, I'm thinking of what I'm thinking. So I'm pondering. All right? But I'm getting stuck on the I'm healed. So I'm repeating it to enforce it. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Sometimes you're doing that and you, by stripes, I'm healed. By stripes. His stripes, yes. He was punished, though. Punished. Wounded. Wounded. Stripes. This is not meditation for Bible study. This is meditation for transformation. Okay, so I need to still do a teaching on meditation, I suppose. But you throw out your questions on this. Let me know, all right? Let me know. So it's not just, by stripes, stripes, let me check on concordance, stripes, to whip, to lash out, stripes, to injure, to wound, stripes, man, rev, word, man, word, stripes. So by his stripes, we're healed. So in the healing is the stripes, in the stripes is the healing. O flow. Word. It's no Bible study. Me say, if I don't study like that, I would rather study for transformation. Please understand, it's now, yeah, there are times you're not even thinking of something and the light comes, you're reading a verse and then light comes. I get that. But it's not, Oh, dear Lord, please get this meditation thing, all right? So we don't just say the same word, but we all have different meanings. This is transformation. This is a good man. Out of the good treasure of his heart. So this is, I've got to put the treasure in my heart. How? Out of the abundance. It's the same place in the Bible. It's the same Matthew 12, all right? Again, 33, either make a tree good or its fruit good, or else you make the tree corrupt or its fruit corrupt. The tree will be known by its fruit. But excuse me, sir, how do I make the tree good or corrupt? Keep reading. 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Please get this now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? So, he said, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or you make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. The tree is known by its fruit. So, it cannot be having a good tree and corrupt fruit, or a corrupt tree and good fruit. That's why he said to them in 35, O generation of vipers, all right? How can you, being evil, speak good things? No, you're evil, so you're speaking evil things. That's what's happening to you. The tree is known by the fruit. The thing to my mouth, and then he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So the mouth speaking is the fruit of the tree in this place. He's talking to them about what comes out of their mouth. He keeps repeating it. So you get to 36. But I say to you, every idle word you speak. So he's talking about speaking. You will give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are... So he's still talking about what's coming out. You people, see. And then many believers, they talk and they say, it's not wrong. I'm just expressing myself. Expressing carnality. Expressing carnality. And when you guys pick these circular songs, and then you sing, oh baby, oh, dance for me, oh baby, oh. And then you want to keep singing it. And some of you don't even mind singing it on your WhatsApp status, social media generally, and just do it. And you're like, come on. You keep endorsing these things now. I said, but I was just singing. Singing what? Are there no better things to sing? I said, what is wrong with what I sing? But I say to you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. Every idle word, that would include songs, right? Everything that comes out of your mouth should be guarded. Don't laugh at someone's expense and say, I was just joking. Every idle word. Listen, we're products of the word. We live by the word. We are transformed by the word. That's who we are. Do you understand? Don't be careless with the words of your mouth. Don't be careless. Don't just sing a song because it's the latest. Go to God's word and find the latest thing for your own destiny. That's the one that concerns you. Stop trying to be new. You're current. For who now? Like for who? For who? Seriously. You watch a movie, you pick a slang from it. Why? Every idle word that men speak, they will give account. We said last week that angels are standing all around you waiting for the words to speak. And then Bible said, you know, in Ecclesiastes, don't say to the angel, I was only joking, I said the wrong thing. No, that we're too careless, too carnal with the words of our mouth. Jesus is talking here about words, guys. Mado for a Christian, why? As in like why? Every idle word you speak, you will give account of it. Every idle word you speak, you will give account of it. So will I. So if you've done a lot of idle speaking, correct it. Don't continue. Well, that's how I am. God never made a new creation like that. We're not careless with words. Jesus is talking about words. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else you make a tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the mouth will not only speak, the life will reflect. And that's me bringing Proverbs 4 in here, but it still tallies. All right, even with Matthew 13, if we don't get to Matthew 13 today, we'll look at Matthew 13 next week, all right? Because we need to close like almost in a few minutes. He now says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. So focus more on what is in the heart. It will alter what comes out of your mouth. All right? So when you like, you use F words as a believer, and then you use, you know, you type, you put S-H asterisk T. We know what you're writing is S-H-I-T, right? But you're trying to do it. You don't have a business with that kind of language. Did you listen to the Again, message we gave before this? I mean, you're just using curse words now, stylishly. You don't have a business with these things as a Christian. You don't have a... For every idle word you speak. All right? So it says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will bring forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. So what kind of man are you? What kind of treasure are you storing? What kind of things do you want? And we're using this for transformation, all right? I want good stuff. I want a great life. Proverbs 4 says, you guard your heart with all diligence because out of your heart will flow the forces of life. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. All right, we'll end on that. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of this heart of yours will flow the forces of life. Guard your heart. That means you guard how things get to your heart. So you go to Proverbs 4 from, you know, 20. My son, attend to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Let not depart from your eyes. Keep in the midst of your heart for their life. So you guard your eyes. You guard your ears. You guard your mouth. You guard what's going in. And you don't just guard. I'm making sure nothing is going. You now put the right one. God's word is God's instrument of change. God's word is God's cleansing agent. God's word is God's agent of transformation. Again, the word of God is God's instrument of change. It will change and rearrange any destiny. All right, just stay with this Wednesday series, please. God's word is God's instrument of change. God's word is God's cleansing agent. You take a bath with it. It sanitizes you, cleanses you. And God's word is God's agent of transformation. You want to be transformed? Shift the level, move from one to another. Go to God's word. Store it up in your heart. Store it up in your heart. It looks like it's taking a while. You learn that in how to train a human spirit. It might not take a day or a week or a month. It could take a year. But when you become transformed, you have become transformed. Jesus said to Mary and Martha. He said, Martha, Mary has found a good thing and nobody can take it away from her. Once you get revelation, you got it. All right, it's when you yourself lose your own grip that it could slip. But when you got it, you got it. Nobody can take it away from you. So when you grasp it on health, when you grasp it on healing and no fear and all of that, you would see that you are bouncing from one level to the next. Please drop your comments, drop your questions, or send them through the leaders. I would like to get feedback. How clear was this? How clear was the meditation part? I will still dig into it some more, push into it some more, but how clear? Please, how clear? So that this teaching is not just like, I've taught. How clear was it? How clear was it? Please, all right? How clear, how clear, how clear? Praise God. So I believe this blessed you. I believe you found it useful. All right, so just have a beautiful, 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 beautiful rest of the week. And please, please, that Hagin tape, God's Medicine, and then the Hagin mini book, God's Medicine, please, please, use that to knock off and finish sickness. I mean, that book and that tape on your own is a class, is a school. Go again and again and again. Deal with sickness. Deal with it. Deal. I beg you, deal with these things. All right, you watch yourself get stronger and bolder, and you see your result come forth. All right? So, Father, we thank you for a very, really beautiful learning we've had today. Thank you, because we get better and better by your word. We get better and better by your instructions. We give you glory, and we honor you so mighty much, Father. Thank you. Your word is working mightily in us and bearing much fruit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right? Blessings.
More than I deserve. Come and sing with me. Whole nation.
I tasted
of your power. Whole nation. You have shown me. Yeah. One time. Show me some.